I was reading recently a want ad for a pastor. Not here. It said this: wanted, minister for a growing church, a real challenge for the right man. Opportunity to become better acquainted with people. Applicant must offer experience as a shop worker, office manager, educator at all levels, including college, artist, salesman, diplomat, writer, theologian, politician, Boy Scout leader, children's worker, minor league athlete, psychologist, vocational counselor, psychiatrist, funeral director, wedding consultant, master of ceremonies, circus clown, missionary, and social worker. Helpful but not essential. Experience as a butcher, baker, cowboy, and Western Union messenger. Must know all about problems of birth, marriage, and death, and conversant with the latest theories and practices in areas like pediatrics, economics, and nuclear science. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but there's some truth to that. And unfortunately, that is oftentimes what is expected of the pastor. A jack of all trades. Most people believe that when a pastor is hired, he is expected to do the work of the ministry, all of it. There's a major misconception today about God's design for church leadership, and the question we have to ask ourselves is, what does God expect of how His church is to be led? And what I want to propose to you this morning and seek to prove to you from the Scriptures is that is it a biblical norm for church leadership to be a plurality of God-ordained elders? That the church is to be led by a team, a group of like-minded men who are equally called and gifted to be a plurality of leaders. I seek to propose to you and prove to you this morning that there is no other pattern of leadership given in Scriptures. This is God's design for church leadership. A team of godly men who lovingly and sacrificially and unanimously lead the church. Today we continue in our series of biblical church leadership. We are taking a few weeks to understand what the Scriptures teach us about what God wants for His church and how He wants it to be led. And this is a very important topic. You may be thinking, I will never be an elder or a deacon. I have no interest in that, or I'm never be qualified for that, or I'm young and this is really not that important to me. It's very important. This is a crucial topic because it affects everything that happens in the church. It affects everything and every ministry and how decisions are made and the relationship between the leadership and the people. It's a crucial topic. As we said a few weeks ago, these are young people here are the future of our church. And we want them as well to understand God's design for biblical church leadership. And all of us must understand the principles laid out in Scripture for how God desires His church to be led. The elders have recently completed an intense study of church leadership. Started 5 years ago and intensified just in the last year or so. We've come to some convictions about what the Scriptures teach about how God wants His church to be led. And then we looked at the Constitution and said, how does our Constitution square up with that? And we said that in a few areas it was unclear or ambiguous. And so we desired to rewrite a portion of the Constitution, not the whole thing, just Articles 7 and 8. And we presented that to you. And now over the next 8 weeks, 6 weeks now, we want to show to you from the Scriptures why these changes were made. Our desire is not to railroad these decisions through, but to give you an understanding, a basis from the Scriptures as to how these changes came about. And as we said last week, our understanding of church leadership cannot be determined by personal preferences. It cannot be determined by tradition or individual experiences. It cannot be determined by what works or what is pragmatic. We cannot look to business or corporations for our understanding of how a church should be run, because the church is not a business. It is an organism, a living organism, the body of Christ. And nor can we look at what is popular and what everyone else is doing. Our basis for church leadership must come from the Scriptures. And so we desire over the course of these few weeks to communicate clearly, hopefully, what God's design for church leadership is. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the fact that Christ is the head of the church. That He is the head of this body and every body of believers. He is our authority. He is the one to whom we look. And we said that He has delegated that authority under His headship to elders to lead the church. Last week, we looked at the fact that God has designed men to be elders, men to be leaders. And that does not mean that women have no ministry in the church. They have a very valuable ministry. And we appreciate you women here at this church who use your gifts and minister your gifts so faithfully. And yet God has designed the church to be led at an elder level by men. And so we talked about that last week. Today we want to address the issue of plural leadership. And we want to look through the scriptures to understand that God's design is that it's to be led by a plurality of elders. Not one man, not a majority, not a hierarchy, but a team of like-minded men who equally and responsibly share the load and the weight and responsibility of ministry. And so I want to give you this morning two important instructions. That God has designed the church to be led by a plurality of elders. Two instructions that we're going to briefly look at through a topical study of the scriptures this morning to understand that God has designed the church to be led by a plurality of elders. There are notes in your Bible or your outline if you want to follow along as we look at these two very important instructions. First, number one in your outline, the first instruction is to be conversant with the terminology of plurality. Be conversant with the terminology of plurality. And the place to begin in our understanding of how God has designed the church to be led is to begin with an understanding of the terms that are used in Scripture to refer to those leaders. The winds of church history have heaped up a sand dune of titles for church leaders. Clergy, minister, parson, monk, reverend, father, prelate, curate, preacher, cardinal, rector, chaplain, vicar, priest, cleric, and my favorite, the holy man. Those are some very interesting titles used to refer to those leading the church, and yet none of those titles come from Scripture. Those are the inventions of man and have little connection to Scripture. And so we have to ask ourselves, what does Scripture call those who lead the church? We're going to find that there are two offices that God has designed for church leadership. One is elder and one is deacon. And of those two offices, one is designed for the oversight of the church, and that is the elder role. And it's important for us to understand that there are three terms used to describe and define the functions and responsibilities of elders. Those three terms are listed in your outline: overseer, elder, and pastor.